So this year, welcome everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Woohoo! It's so nice to share the first Sunday with you all, and I know it's a treat because just planning, just going through, literally thinking about what we want to do, what we want to see accomplished in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones, I mean, how much better could that get? So I am thrilled to spend the day with you, or most of the morning at least, into the early afternoon. this year, we are going to be studying. We have to use the word study because Mr. Frederick Bales talked a lot about students and that he's encouraging us to study the different principles and to truly practice from them. I am just going to do a little synopsis since the literal topic that I'm supposed to be talking about, which is lesson one, is pretty involved, and it is what we need, obviously, but he put it in a more teaching form. I have pulled a lot from it so I could, you know, share my pearls of wisdom with what we are doing today. So I sort of came from different angles. So I'm thinking at some point, Miss Kani, I'll probably have to come back and teach, not teach, but to share chapter one, lesson one, in a more definite way, in a more focused way. Let's have some really good things that we could talk about.
What's chapter one about?
So this is the science of mind, the basic principles of science of mind, and I would love it, if everyone can get one of these. This would be amazing. It's you don't have to go anywhere in terms of a church or, yes, you have to come to study group, but but you can be at home and you can just feel and know and be satisfied with what Dr. Bales is talking about. So it's very good. He gave a synopsis, which I'm going to share with you also, but the first chapter literally is about our minds, about the creative power. And let me go to that thing. And I will be referring to it. Lesson one is about goals. And it's I'm going to read this. We need to understand that the important difference in the functions of the two phases of your mind, this is part of what he's going to be talking about. He talks about how the law of cause and effect operates in our lives. He also talks about what we mean by infinite mind. And then finally, he talks about the real healing that takes place as a result of us truly knowing where we are and how we understand the infinite. And so what I truly loved is the fact that he has separated eternity. And I love that you mentioned that light, joy, love is part of eternity. It never ends. It can never end. And it continues. It's a light that is within us that even if we don't recognize it, doesn't mean that it's not there, and it flows forever. It's eternal. And the same is joy. You know, we could say the same about joy. We can say the same about love. We can say the same about abundance. All the good, wonderful qualities that we know that God is also part of us, and it's also absolutely eternal. Could never end. There is no beginning, no end to God. One of our mysteries of my lifetime. So he talks about mind being the ocean, and you know, the ocean has a surface and it has depth. And he referred to the surface mind as the objective mind, or the mind that chooses, the mind that says, I decide, I want, you know. So in other words, surface mind and choice, he put together as synonymous. Then the depth of the ocean, he sort of makes the analogy to objective mind, unconscious mind, subconscious mind. However, it's not two minds, but just for simplicity, he's sort of parted them up. So just like you could never take the ocean and say this is the surface and this is the depth, is the exact thing with mind. You can never take God and say this is the top layer of God and this is the deeper layer of God. It's all the one, all right? So I was very grateful for him to do that. I knew I had some form of this book in the past, and so this came back as something very refreshing for me to review, and we can go into the deeper mind after. What I wanted to share with you right now is the the synopsis of what Dr. Bales talked about in his own introduction. So, part of the introduction was that our life is governed by laws and principles. Now, what does that mean? It means that there are no favoritism in the universe. The universe doesn't say, you, and not you, or, you know, it's not something that I can do special that the universe is going to make, you know, an exception just for me. The laws are universal. And just as the laws are universal, and just as, let's use our favorite term, electricity, is there when we need it. It does not matter who turns the switch on or who interacts with the current. It doesn't matter. There are no favoritisms to get in shock, or there are no favoritisms to get in light. All right? So that's one of the things we have to remember as we plan our year, that the law is there for us. We decide, we choose, and we choose from our subjective mind. We choose from our consciousness, our conscious mind. And we say, this is what I want. And then the deeper mind, which is our objective mind, our unconscious mind, goes to work for us. It says, okay, I remember how to do that, because one of the things is that every single thing that has happened or one has experienced on this earth, there is a memory for it. And that is an amazing thing. You know, he also talked about the fact that the subjective mind is like playing the piano. After a while, your fingers get so accustomed, you just don't even look at where your fingers are going. It just happens. He also talks about the fact that it's like, and you know, dialing a number that you've remembered from childhood. And so you pick up the phone and you just 642-1406. That's a number I remember from childhood. And why did that number, why am I so used to that number? It's because it has been so much a part of me that it has gone over into the depths. It hasn't gone away, but it comes back when I need it, just automatically. And so that is a key thing to remember about the subjective side of our of mind, or the subjective side of what happens when we pray, what happens when we request, what happens when we desire. You know, it's almost like a recollection of the memory, the deeper part, the depths, the objective, the unconscious, the subconscious, whichever you know feels best for you. That is what literally brings results to us. We choose, and then the deeper side can only say yes. It must say yes, because that's all it knows. It knows to regurgitate. It knows to bring back. It knows how to manipulate it, for want of a better word, how to bring things into fruition. All right. So no favoritism. And then another thing to remember is that the key to everyone's achievement starts with his thoughts. So how we think have a huge effect upon what we are expecting to be produced, what results are going to happen when we think. And so he's saying that one's thought operates by the unchanging law of cause and effect. So the law of cause and effect is a huge law, because, like every other, but, you know, I guess we should remember that whatever happens in the here and now is not just happening in the here and now. It's happening in our very consciousness, our conscious, very subjective side of us. But that is already mingled, because it's the one, it's one mind. So it's already mingled with that desire that we need. And fortunately, you know, the subconscious or unconscious side of us already knows how to produce and how to bring things into fruition. So with our thoughts, we should be very careful how we focus our thoughts, and what, and you know, where we, and how we use our thoughts. All right. Now, this is a sort of a harsh thinking. In some ways, sometimes I find that Dr. Bales could be a little bit. He's very methodical. He's very scientific, and this is what our prayer, this is how science of mind teaches that we pray. We pretty much pray not by wishing and hoping and just willing things to happen. We pray because we know that there is a power within us, that there is something that is there that responds to our thoughts. And so when Dr. Bales talk about it, he's very, very pragmatic. He's like black and white. So one of the things he talked about was that those who fail have followed the laws of failure. That was really hard. That was a harsh one. But it's very true, right? And everything has a law. It's cause and it's effect. It's what you put out, you're going to get back. We may not think it comes back, but lo and behold, if we are alert enough, we can recognize that maybe this is the point where this is coming up. Who knows? But one of the things he said is, those who fail have followed the laws of failure. Those who succeed have followed the laws of success. He made the analogy of, you can't plant an onion plant and expect to get a rose. And just, and you know, we talk about that a lot. So just the same way it's the universe doesn't have favorites. So if we can't plant onions and get roses, then we can't plant morbid thoughts, we can't plant injurious thoughts to ourselves or others and expect to get back sweet smelling whatever at the end of it, results at the end of it. And so one of the things about, you know, thoughts, bad thoughts and all that stuff is only because we have failed to realize that we are such powerful beings with the light, with the love that we have within us. And so when we willfully say, I choose not to see good, then that's where our negative stuff comes up. And if we can control that aspect of our thinking to say, today I choose good, I choose to see the good in you, I choose abundance, or I choose whatever. In that way, we are a lot more aligned with who we truly are, that eternal spirit within us, all right? So don't plant bad thoughts and expect anything else but bad thoughts or illness or, you know. And I'm not saying that illness is a direct correlation, so please don't say that, but at least just know that you are in control of doing the best that you can, and what you have control over is the thoughts that you think, all right? So another thing is that we have inner change, and this is, we have our inner change and outer change, and the universe will give success when we learn to build a proper success pattern. So sometimes, you know, we would, affirmations are wonderful, they're great, and affirmations work when we truly know and understand why they work. And we know affirmations work because we are grounding ourselves in the truth of what we are saying, right? But some people would say, you know, things like, you know, I'm getting better and better every day, but their thoughts don't reflect it. Their lives, but you have to start thinking something before you start living it, all right? So your thoughts don't reflect it. And unless your thoughts could reflect your affirmations, then sometimes it could be a little bit empty, all right? So one of the things is that our inner change is occurs because of the scientific method that as we go on with our program month after month, we would talk more about how, you know, the treatment, why treatment works and how we can literally be very factual with what we pray for, as opposed to praying but has that huge underlying thing of may or may not happen, or, you know, just really willy-nilly wishing, or, you know. So we wanted to see if we can pray with a lot more determination. And this is an excellent thing to start off with for this year, is our scientific prayer and the methods that we use. So we all have an amazing ability to change our inward patterns of thoughts, and we can change them completely. So just remember that. We can make a 360. And as we do this, our health, our affairs, our lives, our love relationships, everything changes to the exact degree that we make that inner change, all right? It's kind of tough saying it that way, but truly we are personally responsible for all our decisions, unfortunately. You know? We wish that we could say, you know, that thing did it, or this person did it, or, but in the end, if it came from within us, then we are to take that full responsibility, all right? So as we do this, we should see changes in our outer life. And fortunately and or unfortunately, we make our own misery or we make our own happiness. So let us then never blame anyone or anything but ourselves when things go wrong. So this is where he's like a teacher. He's like really stern right now. So let us look inside for the cause of it, all right? So, and that is a really good, healthy way to operate also. When things go wrong, yes, we collapse under it because of the experience or the pressures that we are going through. But then we lift ourselves up again and we look to find out what happened. What caused this? And if you can't find out, then truly ask yourself, ask your angel, ask your intuition, ask God, ask, just ask. The mere fact that you're asking already brings out the answer. Because it's the one mind. And so if the subjective mind is asking already, because it's the one mind and the one depth, the answers are already there. Okay? And it's easy for me to say, yes, pull up your bootstrings and let's move on. But it could be very difficult, and each person knows how and when it's time for them to ask that question, what caused it? Because you can ask and not be in the frame of mind, the frame of thinking, to hear the answer, and you would never know also. So being curious is great, but really wanting to know what caused it is a great, is also even better. All right, so we can change our own experiences, and of course, it shows up in our outer effect. So whatever is outside is a reflection of where we were or where we are as a matter of inward change. So his synopsis continues where he talked about what the implications are for the world. And long and short, because it's a pretty long paragraph he had, the long and short of it is that we all decide our world's destiny. What happens to the world depends on us. And as students of such a wonderful, rich philosophy, I'm so grateful for the time I have had to be in contact or to study something that has such full meaning for me and that I can feel very aligned with the source, with who I am and with the source of everyone. I am very, very grateful for knowing this type of philosophy. And so knowing what we know and how powerful we can be, we can change our world. Mm-hmm. Not with, you know, the songs of, you know, we have a crazy world or we have, you know, by bringing down the world. You can't change something by bringing it down. You can change something by looking in different directions, choosing different alternatives that are really uplifting, all right? So if we're going to be good students, then we are going to be good students throughout and just be a support for the world, even if it's collapsing or apparently collapsing under us, all right? And so he has a lot to say about that, which I'm not going to get into. He also talked about we pray because we want to see some particular good results from our prayers. And this is why we are here today. We are starting off our year, and yes, we are praying. And we are praying, we are hoping, we are wishing, we have all these things coming together, but we are doing it with a certain amount of determination today because we know differently, all right? So we use the word treatment to refer to particular methods of prayer. And so he asked us to, you know, be purposeful about our prayer, be intelligent about our prayer, and when we see the results, we would definitely know, hey, yes, we do miracle works here and all that stuff, but the long and short of it is, if we truly believe that we are so purposeful and we are going through the methods that bring the best results for us, then whatever expresses in our physical world is not really a miracle, but it is the result of our own consciousness. All right? Now, the miracle where I would hold on to is the miracle where, oh my goodness, I had no idea it would have been so expansive. I could not even imagine that my life would turn in such wonderful directions, or this particular thing would turn in. So in that case, for me, it's a miracle because I couldn't imagine it, and that's my miracle, all right? So sorry, Dr. Bales. All right, and it's coming close to 12 o'clock. If you could give me at least another 5 minutes, I could finish up. So when we are doing our inspirational board, these are a few things that we should be knowledgeable about, or we should know. First of all, we should know that we should know what and where the power is. Right? So we're dealing with power. We're dealing with abundance. We're dealing with call forth the you know, the qualities. We are dealing with that. He says, remember to cultivate the conviction that man needs nothing outside himself. And the reason why we need nothing outside ourselves is because we already have it within us. Right? So already within man, woman, is the infinite healing intelligence. Just simply waiting to work for us. So my advice is to learn how to align ourselves with this power, and hey, be open-minded. Mm-hmm. All right? Truth never changes, but our understanding of the truth does. And the fact that we can understand truth at all is an amazing thing, and it tells a whole lot about our connection and our growth spiritually, because truth will always be truth, and what you hold as truth really can never be anything else. All right, so that is my take on it. Dr. Bale says that truth never changes, but our understanding of it does. Whether it causes conflicts in our beliefs or not, the one thing is clear, God will still be God, right? The universe will still be the universe, no matter how he, it, she, whatever it is described, okay? It still takes faith, and faith, regardless of what we believe, will always be faith. So if you take our faith and we know that God is always God, those are two of the most astounding things we can think of to keep afloat. Right? And it doesn't matter whose philosophy you're hearing, whose doctrine seems better than another, we already know within us that we have the power We have that God light. We have that love. We have the joy. And it will always be joy. It will always be light. Light could never, never be put out by darkness. Could never happen. And I so believe that. It is so entrenched in me that light is such a powerful force in our lives. We can turn away from the light and choose to see differently. But we can't stay there either, because guess what? We're going to be agitated, irritated. We're going to be so out of sync. Somewhere along the line, we have to turn back toward the light. And only when we turn back toward the light that we start feeling, we can breathe out. We can feel at home. All right? And so that's Gail's take on light. So he also says, be intellectually honest with yourself. He says, the key to your freedom is your thought. He says, be courageous enough to admit that the unfortunate experiences in our lives have, in some ways, we've been attracted by our wrong thinking. All right? So our thoughts can change. Hooray! Our thoughts can change. It's not a permanent death sentence. And if we change our thoughts, as we know in Science of Mind, that you change your thoughts, you can change your life. All right? However, it's only if we want to. All right? We have a choice. We truly have a choice. If things are not going the way we want them to be, it takes courage to look within and say, what went wrong? Where was the law of cause and effect? What caused this effect? And if we can come up with that, we can know how to change for the next wrongs. Okay? And so our workshop would remind us of this. As I close, I have a couple thoughts. And they are Dr. Bale's thoughts, so much credit is given to him. He said, our thoughts are the only tools with which we can work from. All right? Our mind is the only area in which we can produce our results. And our physical conditions are the way we would experience our results. So, our thoughts lead the way. And with our minds, he refers to our minds as the ocean, as I mentioned, with the surface and the depth. And if we can see that as we make choices, the God mind, our unconscious is already there to produce the results, the answers to our questions, our wanting, our asking, our desires. All right, desires are a great thing, and it should be encouraged, because that's the only way we know to move forward. That's the only way we know how to navigate our life, our world. I just want to read this one thing in closing, because it's just very appropriate. And it's a book by David McNally. I don't think you remember this book, but...
It was around a long time ago.
Huh?
It was around a long time ago.
Yeah. I got this book from Connie a long time ago. You brought this book to the hospital for... You brought it to the hospital when Lorian was there, the second month, and... it says, even eagles need a push. And I'm like, can you give me a book? Even eagles need a push. I need to read this book. And so I read it, and I put it down. And I was, like, doing some work in the house again, and for some reason I kept thinking this book, Eagles and Needing a Push, and all of a sudden, voila, it showed up. So let me just give you a little thing that I marked here. So they talk about confidence, all right? And confidence is a huge, huge part, has a huge part to play in things working out for us. So where is it? So this is a story about the eagle. Eagle, sorry. Thank you for doing my translation. Eagle. So, if this is what you want, then spend some time. Okay. So the eagle, thank you. The eagle, no wonder I, my Siri doesn't understand me because it doesn't hear properly. It's not hearing my words.
That's right.
Okay, so the eagle gently coaxed her offspring towards the edge of the nest. Her heart quivered with conflicting emotions as she felt their resistance to her persistent nudging. Why does the thrill of soaring have to begin with the fear of falling? She thought. This ageless question was still unanswered for her. As in the tradition of the species, her nest was located high on the shelf of a sheer rock face. Below, there was nothing but air to support the wings of each child. Is it possible that this time it will not work? She thought, and this is the mama eagle. Despite her fears, the eagle knew it. The eagle knew it was time. Her parental mission was all but complete. There remained one final task, the push. The eagle drew courage from an innate wisdom. Until her children discovered their wings, there was no purpose for their lives. Until they learned how to soar, they would fail to understand the privilege it was to have been born an eagle. The push was the greatest gift she had to offer. It was her supreme act of love. And so, one by one, she pushed them over the cliff, and they flew. So remember, sometimes we need a push.